Good morning. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather together to worship on this beautiful day. And we're welcoming all of you out that I can see as well as those that are online. As we move through our announcements, Dave Coppedge has asked us to speak to the congregation real quick. I'm going to let Dave do that. Thanks, Robert. Here we go.
Good morning. I just wanted to just address the congregation and the church. My mom, Barbara Coppedge, loved this place. She loved you all. She loved the community. And thank you for that, because this was her home. And on behalf of my sisters and I, we wanted to share some of her beautiful flowers that she received. And it's just kind of the testament to you all and her and this place. Big thank you to Pastor Marty for serving her communion last Sunday. That meant a lot to her. Thanks to John Robson for showing up and visiting her. A big thank you to Dobin. What amazing vocals. She would have loved it. I thought she was coming back, because she probably up there going, "Daggone it, are you kidding me? That was awesome." So it was really good. But I think big thank you to Michael. I mean, for years and years, no offense, Marty, but it's probably why she was coming here. The music is just so powerful and loving.
I said that at the sermon.
Yeah. She
she
just loved the music. And she was sorry at the end there that she couldn't get to the Christmas concert. But she just, what I want to say is that she just loved you all. And special place. So, thank you very much.
Well, he stole my thunder. He talked about the flowers. And that's okay, because then I don't have to say anything about it. I don't normally do birthdays, but you'll notice that Michael Sullivan's birthday is tomorrow. And I found out that he shares it with Jean in the choir, right? So happy birthday to them. And then Garrett, who is one of our younger members in the choir, his birthday is today. So if you happen to see them, wish them a happy birthday today. After church is the Super Bowl luncheon. You'll see it's in there when we get down there. I want to thank all who are participating and make sure we got some food to eat, some soup to eat. You can smell it a little bit. I noticed that as I was coming down the hall. We also had canned goods coming in. They're not up here for display, but there were boxes. Lots was collected for Washington UCC for that food drive. So we thank you for those as well. Lunch bunches this Wednesday. Please note that if you're coming. We've been hyping this thing about the Valentine's Day cards to Children's Hospital. If you're not sort of internet connected and don't do that, Kyle Taylor's going to have his laptop downstairs at lunch. So if you'd like to sit with him, and he'll help you get that, and we can get some cards sent if you haven't done that yet, because it's only done electronically. And we can make sure that happen as well. You also notice we found some more cookbooks. Kyle's been looking through closets and checking things out, and we found some more. So those are going to be available downtown as well. Laura's here today if you need to talk to her about that pause for Lent, the devotional thing that's going to happen on the Saturdays during Lent. Please take note of that. There's a couple more. We got about three or four more Sundays for the prayer partners. There's a sign-up sheet up here and in the back as well to do that, and I will distribute those to you when we get those all collected. Are there other announcements for the good of the community this morning? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day.
Thank you.
For all those who are able, let us stand together and join in the call to worship. We come together to be God's peace, to love comfortably in times of anxiety, to love generously in times of scarcity, to love trustingly even those we call enemies. We come to suffer, to endure, to hope, to become the character of Christ, the love of God incarnate. We come to be more faithful disciples right now, right here. Let us worship our God. Let us join together in the prayer of adoration and confession. O God, on this day we pray for many things. In the places of dryness, let us be fresh water. In the places of barrenness, let us be blossom and fruit. In the places of need, let us be food and drink. In the places of humiliation, let us be welcome. In the places of fear, let us be love. In the places of violence, let us be healing. Let us be your spirit, embodied in flesh and blood, revealing that you dwell here and now. Spirit of life and peace, we confess that it is easier to love possessions acquired and hoarded than to love giving. It is easier to choose a momentary pleasure that soothes our anxiety right now than to sacrifice comfort to meet the need of a sister or brother. It is easier to believe in the illusion of worldly prosperity than live dependent on the reality of abundance outside our control. We confess that the ways of this world are delightfully seductive, and living for a greater good we cannot fully comprehend seems dull by comparison. Remind us that we are choosing between mortality and eternal life, between the values of this world and your realm of peace. Help us choose what we claim we want. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hear the good news. We are assured that God is already at work in our lives, accepting us where we are and granting us new life. Know that you are being unbound. You are free to live, able to share in God's saving action in our midst. Accept the gift of God's forgiveness and grace. Take your place among Christ's disciples. Dear beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, now and forever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook as the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Our second reading this morning from the Old Testament, Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The word of our Lord.
You'll notice again, I'm not doing a gospel lesson. I thought Paul's letter today was more appropriate for me to speak to you about. So we're going to hear from 1 Corinthians 15th chapter in these first 11 verses where he's sort of addressing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Laura came up to me, interesting, because you attend Mass first before you come here, correct?
Yes.
And we do follow the lectionary. So she heard the same scriptures, which isn't unusual. They actually sang the same hymns, which is really unusual that we would do that. So, but hear these words from Paul. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, and which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in with me. Whether it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I looked at the text, I thought, you know, if I can imagine any problem that a congregation can have, the Corinthian church probably had it. Leadership issues, competing factions, poor worship, immorality, drunkenness, skimming the books, it's all there. Name a few. But in this 15th chapter of Corinthians, Paul is addressing the most dangerous problem that any group of gathered Christians can have. Apparently, there was a group that were having doubts about Jesus' resurrection, or whether that was true or not. And so he's responding to them by stressing the absolute importance of the death and resurrection of our Lord. And through the good news, the Corinthians, what he's saying is, are being saved. It's through you hearing the news is how you come to be saved. And the saving work of Christ doesn't end when we're baptized, or when we say a confession or affirmation of faith, or when we're confirmed or joined to the church. Salvation is an ongoing process. It doesn't just stop somewhere. It's ongoing. And so the questions that have to be asked is, are we as kind and loving as we should be? Are we Christ-like in our word and deed? Are we bold in our faith regardless of what somebody else says to me or to you? Are you at peace with yourself? And as I spoke a few weeks ago about that abounding joy that should underline who we are as people of God. So my question is, are we a finished Christian, or are we on the way Christian? And if you admit you are on the way, then you really are on the way. We're never finished, my friends, never. And when I think about how we should be working, I always think about the Energizer Bunny commercial. That little rabbit keeps going and going and going. We need something that keeps us going. Because I don't know about you, but I know sometimes life is hard. We get busy, and I don't think about what's going on. And there are so many distractions that can divert me, or temptations that can make me do something else. And we need something that we can tap into, sort of transcend beyond this world, all the bad news and the death, and all the things that surround us that are negative. And somehow we need this good news, capital G, capital N, to temper the bad news. My sense is the more we practice hanging on to the Gospels, hearing those words, however we hear them, the firmer our grip becomes. And the way we have to understand how we get through the gospel carries us through the day. And so do we keep in the back of our mind our faith and our grounding when we're at work or at play? Or when we're making the hard choice, whatever that is, in this life? I found that the longer that, the more firmly I cling is more, when I'm really struggling, is that I find that more and more I keep going because I know God is present. But it's hard to make those decisions. But not only must we hold on to that message because it helps us be grounded, but we're also to pass it on. It's not just for me, it's not just for you, it's for us to pass on. So Paul says, let me reread that section in verse 3, he says, "For I handed on to you what I in turn had received." So he received, and he's passing on. And so what that means is this isn't just Paul's opinion, it's a living truth that Paul says that he received, and now he feels obliged to pass on, that others may know about what's going on. The sad thing is, as I was reading for the sermon today, looking through stuff, I can't remember, I went back and looked for it, I couldn't, but the phrase that got me is this: Christianity is only just one generation from dying out. Scared the bejesus out of me. If I don't pass it on to those who are younger than me, who's going to pass it on? And if you don't pass it on to the next generation, you know, it's a scary thought. So that means if we're here, it is important. And it's important that we share that good news with others so they come also to understand who Jesus is. And so some of the things that Paul was referencing in the text today, you know, let me give you some examples if it doesn't get passed on. Or how he talks about that Paul says the risen Lord appeared to Cephas, or Peter as we know him in Aramaic. It was Cephas in Aramaic. Then he says he read on several occasions Jesus appeared to Peter and to the 12. So we know what Paul's talking about because we know those incidents happened. And then he says that he appeared to his brother James. Well, we know nothing about this meeting. You know, Tom and I have had conversations about there's not enough in the scripture for me to understand all the time. And here's another one. What did Jesus say to James and how did he respond? There's no conversation about this. And he became a believer and an influential leader in the church. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. And there's no account of that. I want to know, without a PA system, how did they hear him? And how did that work? So what did he say to James? James must have told the story to somebody else. He says, this is what Jesus said to me, but nobody passed it on. 500 people heard him speak, and there are no other stories. We have to share it. We have to take the good news and pass it on to somebody else. And there's an old paragraph of everybody, nobody, somebody, and I think what it is maybe everybody thought somebody was going to tell the story, and nobody did. I don't want to be the nobody. And I hope you don't want to be the nobody. That we think about what it is that we believe and we share it. So we need to hand this past, we need to explain the good news to those who need to hear it. And the issue becomes, we don't move in the same circles. I see you here on Sunday. When I was taking my psychology and sociology classes in seminary and then pastoral care in seminary, we did this thing where you draw circles of yourself and how many times you intersect with other people. You know, and basically you and I intersect at church. then I intersect with other churches that I help. I intersect with those who I mentor. I intersect with my family. You got to intersect with my family a little bit when my sister was bringing me to church, but we don't really intersect. So there's other people you see that I don't see, and there's people I see that you don't see, that we need to be sharing the good news, you know. And nobody else can do it but you. My experience of Jesus is not the same as yours. Not expected to be. The commonality is we have experienced Jesus. And that's why we're here. So are we going to be silent or do we share? And Paul's challenging us to do that. And I think we do it in a lot of different ways. You don't have to be. When I was in seminary in my first year, I had to work in a non-religious institution. I worked at Good Sam Hospital in Dayton, Ohio. And I worked in a psychology unit. They had a bunch of kids. We had 3 or 4 classrooms. These were kids that were quote-unquote not normal, however that was defined. But they met with these psychologists. And I worked with one of the psychologists. And the deal was you couldn't talk church talk. If they asked me where I went, why I was there, I says it was training from my school. Well, what school is that? And I said, well, I'm at United Theological Seminary. Those were too big of words for them to understand. They had no idea what a seminary was. But I couldn't share my faith in the way I share it with you. And so that was a struggle of how do you use everyday language to talk about what we believe. You all can do that. You can talk however you want to talk to other people about the faith that you have. And we do that all the time. We just don't think about it. And you don't have to be, and I share with you a lot about the scriptures in hymns. And when I thought about how the good news is supposed to be shared, that we hear the gospel, and it's not too good to be true, and we shouldn't be hanging on to it. And we've received from others, whether it was parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, mentors, other people in our lives, but we need to share it with others because then we become mentors to them or people that they trust to share the good news. But we sing hymns. Most of you can quote me hymns better than you can quote me a scripture, and that's okay. But I went to the Easter hymns as I was thinking about this, you know, and some of the words that we sing. The first one that came was, you know, was we all know the Gaither one, Because He Lives. You know, God sent his son. They called him Jesus. That one. And it says, he came to love, to heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. There's your theology. And the chorus is, because he lives, why? I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. There's no God talk there. You can do that. Another one was, I serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We all know that. That's one we all sing. You all sing really loud when you know your songs. You know that, right? So you know these. And it goes, you know, in whatever a man may say, I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, what? He's always near. You know, you can say that in other ways to other people. And the chorus is, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today, he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. With the imagery that narrow is hard. He lives, why? Salvation to impart. We have received that. You ask me how I know he lives? What's the answer? He lives within my heart. Yeah. And the third one that came was the day of resurrection. Michael likes to play this on the organ. He gets loud. And it's good because we sing it. And sometimes we sing it. It's not just the music, but it's also those words. It's that combination. It says, the day of resurrection, earth tell it out abroad. Earth, creation, everything. Sing it, say it loud. What do we say? The Passover of God, the gladness, the Passover from death to life eternal. God is with us the entire span of our living. From earth to sky, trying to talk about a dimension that we can't measure. That Christ has brought us over with hymns of victory. All the words are there. All I'm asking you, my friends, is to pass it on. To share with others the good news. It's here. You don't have to be as good as I am. I know I'm verbose. Laura tells me to be quiet all the time. But it's important to share what is important. Share the good news. Spread the word. Let people know how important it is that God is in your life. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today, I put together, this is a litany I think I wrote some time ago, and it's responsive. So I'm going to ask you as you stand as you are able. We will do the affirmation and stay standing for our hymn. Sometimes we yearn for the comfort of another's arms. Oh, rock, rock us. Sometimes we grow weak with apathy and indifference. Oh, strength, strengthen us. Sometimes our fear of death prevents our full participation in life. Oh, life, enliven us. Sometimes our will to do right wavers in the face of difficulties. Oh, Spirit, spirit us. Sometimes we surprise ourselves by the goodwill we desire for others. Oh, love, love us. Oh, God, we want to be yours and yours alone as we journey in this life. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys or concerns to be brought forth to this gathered community of faith today? Laura.
Yes. I have a joy. After 10 years, my blood cancer has been tagged as in remission. So, and for the first time, I'm experiencing days without my chemo treatment. So there's been a lot of prayer from this church and a lot of support. I thought you should share in the joy. So it's a great thing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. God works in ways we don't understand.
Hope and faith.
Hope and faith. Thank you. Any others? If not, you'll see in the bulletin, as always, we have all kinds of lists in there for you to peruse and to take home and to pray. There's a list. There's the homebound. There's birthdays and anniversaries. We mentioned some earlier today as well. The Northern Kentucky UCC churches, we're actually meeting tomorrow here at St. John's. There's St. John UCC in Bellevue. Alan Fluent, my friend and colleague, is the interim pastor there. And we pray for ourselves here at St. John's in Newport. An update on Reverend Andrew Bierken, another one of my colleagues and a former interim pastor here as well. He's still in a self-induced coma as they work with, they're trying to get his lungs better after his heart surgery. The daughter texts Michael, it's a group text, and then he forwards that on to me. And that he's getting better, they're trying to wean him off. They weaned him off of the ventilator, and he's breathing better on his own when they have an opportunity to do that, but it's a slow process. And so we continue to pray for Andrew and his family as they go through that as well. Dave was here today to thank us all, but we remember the Barbara Coppage family. We had the service here on Friday. It was a great turnout. A lot of family and friends and people from the church to celebrate a life that was well-lived and love that was shared with all. So we thank you for that as well. We continue to remember situations throughout the world, and we raise those silently in prayer. There's always something going on to the point. I don't know if I shared with you when I was living with my sister. She decided she wasn't going to watch news anymore. So all we watched was PBS. And so it's my niece's room. I was staying in my niece's room when she stays there. And I'd watch what I want to watch. But I think because she was so depressed about watching what's going on in the world. And it's not just here in the States. It's, you know, things that we see that happen. And those are the things that depress us. But we need to pray for the leaders of the world throughout the world and for things that are happening that we may not be aware of or maybe we don't even understand. I know struggling in my life with the conflicts and wars that we've been in, you know, starting with Vietnam, which is my war. And, you know, you struggle with all of that. And how do we deal with that? And how do I pray for people that I don't even know? So we do that. And we also have those things personal with us right here that are right in our face that we need to pray for. There might be a coworker or a neighbor or maybe even a family member. I know that my brother and I don't always see eye to eye. You know, you always have to have some. How do we love them even in the midst of being disagreeing with them as well? And we also have celebrations. We've talked about birthdays today. There are times I find just being together with other people over lunch or a beer, something, and being able just to chat. And that's important as well in our lives. So let us open our minds and hearts and an attitude as we come before God in prayer. And as we sort of focus for that, I'm going to ask you to take a moment and let's breathe in deep. And release that. And breathe in God. And release that. Breathe in God. And release that. Breathe in. Almighty and holy God, we are grateful for your presence with us this day in this place. And you come to us like the dawning of a new day, sort of slowly and quietly and dependably. And you bring us each day opportunities. You allow us to look around as, you know, as the light becomes, you see what's there. You awaken to us, around us, beauty. And we thank you for this new day that you've given us today. So in this day that you have given us, oh God, we pray that as we journey through it, We have wisdom to use our time wisely, strength to face our problems courageously, patience to do our tasks carefully, compassion to care for others with sensitivity, and faith to view our future with hope. We pray for each other on this day, a day that when we gather to worship, we discover your presence among us. On a day that we praise you because our spirits are elevated when we are together and we join together in singing and in praying and in just fellowship with one another. We come to be here to feel your grace, to know that we're not alone in this journey. We gather to hear your word as it is read. We offer our gifts in response to what you have given to us. We offer our lives to you that your spirit may bless us and infuse us. So we thank you for the fellowship that is shared as we gather in this place. We always pray for others this day who are in hospitals and nursing situations. We pray for all those we have lifted loud and silently. There may be those who are traveling. There are those who are homebound. There are those who wish they could be with us and hopefully can be able to see us through the video. We pray for all who are feeling low, whether it's spiritually or emotionally or physically. But most of all, God, we want you to touch each person in this place and each person that we think about from our hearts, that your presence be known to them in some special way. And so we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who has touched our lives, and who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
It is well with those who deal generously, the psalmist tells us. They have distributed freely and have given to the poor. Bring your tithes and offerings to participate in the joy of our Creator. Let your light shine so others may see your good works and give glory to God. The ushers may now come forward.
I see us.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Generous God, you invited us to set our minds on generosity and to live into the peace of abundant sharing. You have invited us to set our minds on love and to live into the peace of compassion and justice. You have invited us to set our minds on your spirit within us and to live into the peace of profound relationships with others. Receive all that we are and all that we return for your use and make it all a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. The anthem the choir sang for the offertory is just the same as those three hymns I quoted to you in the sermon. Those are words that you can share. How great thou art. How do we feel how God is? How many people, that song is sung not only in church, that's sung everywhere. You know, people understand that verbiage. Share the good news with those who need to hear it. Also remind you, can you smell the soup? There's lunch afterwards, so if you can stay, we'd be glad to share with you today. We have been challenged today to share the good news with those who need to hear it. Continue to share the good news with those around you, no matter whether you know them or not, so that they too can know the joy into which you have been grounded. So let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.